Welcome to the series I'm entitling Steps to Being a Disciple of Jesus. In the first session, I talked about if you can't make a disciple, you have to choose to be a disciple. And what I talked about is that I've got four steps that I think are crucial if we're going to be a disciple of Jesus. The first step is that you have to have a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. This is Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading verse 36. It says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call.'" So the first step is that we have to have a life-changing encounter with Jesus. And the very first one is that you must be born again. In John chapter 3, these are passages hopefully you're familiar with. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in him is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." The last verse 36, that he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If you're in Christ, you're a new creation." So the reason I'm starting here is because obviously you can't be a disciple of Christ if you're not born again. You must have a life-changing encounter, a born again of the Spirit with the Lord. And the reason I'm spending a little time here is because many of us grew up in church. You may not have grown up in church, but a lot of times people will just go to church and they don't believe, but they've never really had an encounter with the living Christ. And so we've got people, I believe, that are in church, going to church, doing various things. They may or they may not really know Jesus. They may never have really been born again. So, most important thing, if you're going to be a disciple of Christ, you must be born again. The next part is that you need to be water baptized. Now, again, it says that they repent and then they were baptized for the remission of sin. Jesus himself was water baptized. Now, he certainly didn't have to repent for the remission of sin. He was born by the Spirit, birthed by the Spirit, and he didn't sin, but he was water baptized. So clearly, water baptism is important for us. Now, I want to go to Romans chapter 6, and this is a very lengthy passage, and I encourage you to spend a little time there, because Paul is explaining the whole issue of water baptism. Verse 1 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" It's a continuation of the discussion of identifying with Christ out of chapter 5. "Certainly not. How shall he who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many as us were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" I remember years ago, I grew up in church. I attended church, and when I was a young, probably 11 or 12 years old, at Vacation Bible School in our Baptist church, I walked the aisle, gave my life to Christ, and got water baptized. But years later, after had just a life-changing encounter with the Holy Spirit in my life, I remember reading this, and it says, "Do you not know that as many as us were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" I remember reading that going, no, I didn't know that. I mean, I got water baptized, but I really didn't understand what it was at that point in time. It said, "Therefore you were buried," verse 4 says, "Therefore you were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, I remember thinking, no, I didn't know this. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. So what Paul is saying here is that, do you understand what happened? When you're born again, you're born by the power of the Spirit, you come alive. Water baptism is you're identifying with the death of Christ, and you identify with the resurrection of Christ. But when you understand the power of water baptism, again, we're not saved by water baptism, but the old man, the old sin nature, is reckoned dead. You're identifying with the Christ totally. You identify with his death. He died for sin, and he died with our sin, and he was raised to walk in newness of life. And he was raised to walk and live forever. We're raised to walk in newness of life. Paul's point is, identify with both his death and burial and his resurrection. Now, Colossians gives a little summary that I love because it's a little briefer, but I love the way it explains in Colossians. This is chapter 2, verse 11. It says, in him you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. A lot of times we struggle with sin and we struggle with our past. Now remember, 2 Corinthians says, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. Understanding the transforming work of the Spirit of God in our lives and identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, we appropriate by faith that the old nature, the old consciousness of sin, it's been broken. The power of that has been broken. So there is literally a circumcision, not made in the flesh, but there's a circumcision of cutting off the old man, the body of sin that's in our life. Buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through the faith of the working of God who raised him from the dead. The point is that if we understood water baptism, I'm not the old man. I'm not over here buried. I'm supposed to identify that the old man, my old sin nature, my old characteristics were buried with him, but he's not dead. He was raised to live forevermore. I was raised with him, and now I'm raised to focus upon him, and I'm beginning to live my new nature. My old nature was buried. And so it's time to identify. He died. He was in the grave for 3 days. But listen, he lives forevermore. So just like our old nature, it's dead. It's gone. It's over. Now I get to live my new life in him. You were being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Wow. What Jesus did for us is a complete work. Baptism is us coming in agreement with what he's done. And it's allowing us to have that revelation. Once I saw this, I got water baptized again because I wanted to appropriate the fullness of everything that he paid for so I could really be living in that new man. Again, I'm not saved because of water baptism, but clearly every disciple was water baptized. And Jesus' clear instructions is to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it's very, very important for us to be water baptized. The next step we saw there is that they were to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1 Now, remember, we talked about Jesus gave clear instructions for the go make disciples of all nations. So it's not a question about what he intended for us to do. He told his disciples. But this is Acts chapter 1, verse 3. It says he was presented himself alive after the sufferings by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during the 40 days and speaking of things pertaining the kingdom of God. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Very interesting, because at the end of Matthew, he says, I want you to go. And then before they go, he says, don't go, because you've got to be endued with power by the Holy Spirit. And that's really what God wants. He wants us to be endued with his power. And so that's what he has called us to do. Now, remember Jesus, when he was water baptized in Luke chapter 3, it says he came up, he was praying, the Holy Spirit came up on him, and the Father spoke from heaven and said, you are my beloved Son, and you I'm well pleased. So again, Jesus is our example. He, again, didn't need to be born again, but he was clearly came to be water baptized. When he came out of the water, the Holy Spirit came upon him. Bill Johnson talks about the Holy Spirit in us is for us. The Holy Spirit on us is for others. He wants to empower us. And that's what he says here. Don't worry even about the end times. Don't worry about what might happen or could happen. You must receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And see, it's not about gifts or it's not about the manifestations of the Spirit. It's power. The question is, are you walking in the power of the Holy Spirit? That's what he wants us to do. Why? Because he wants us to go make disciples, but he wants us to be his witnesses. And so Jesus himself modeled for us. He was water baptized, and he was clearly baptized in the Spirit. And he never did any ministry until after that. Luke chapter 4, he's tempted in the wilderness, and then he continues on with his ministry of signs and wonders and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So clearly the same thing for us. We must be empowered. We see that in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. We see that in Samaria, Acts chapter 8. We see that at Cornelius' house in Acts chapters 9 and 10 when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Acts chapter 19 in Ephesus. Every one of these examples that we have in Scripture is that they were the Holy Spirit came upon them to empower them. Signs and wonders and miracles and things happened through their life. Think about Peter. And we got Peter. We got a lot of stuff about Peter. We see him. He's sort of up and down. And, you know, he's the one who wants to walk on water. Jesus says, okay, come on. Come on. Get out of the boat. So he walks on water until he sees the waves and begins to sink. He cries out. He has revelation of who Jesus is. He said, that's right, Peter. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And he's like, yeah, well, I'm really something. Then, of course, right after that, he rebukes him for rebuking Jesus himself. Peter wants to, so Peter is all over the place. Peter says, I'll never deny you. You know, I'll fight to the death. And of course, then he denies him three times. So this is just, he's just like us. We're just like that. But after Pentecost, after the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the disciples, and Peter begins to stand up with boldness and begin to preach. And I'm just going to read this passage. He's preaching the gospel, and in chapter 4, after they've seen a miracle of God, it said that they, the rulers, this is verse 5, the next day, the rulers, the elders, and scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest were gathered together in Jerusalem. Now, let me just point out, these are the same people that were brought, that Jesus was brought before, who condemned to be killed. And when they had set them in the midst, they said, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and the elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he is made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised him from the dead, for this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Now, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized they'd been with Jesus. Wow. Nothing had changed in Peter's life. Now, we're talking about, remember how many days we're talking about after this. We're talking about Jesus crucified, he was buried, he was raised from the dead. Pentecost means 50 days after Passover. So 50 days, Jesus is with them, then he ascends to heaven. 50 days, the only thing that changed was that the Holy Spirit was poured out and Peter was baptized in the Spirit. His life was absolutely changed. From this wishy-washy all over the place, denying and all kinds of things, to where he's standing boldly to the same people who had condemned Christ, he's telling them about Jesus and about this man who is standing there being whole. That is exactly the same thing happened to me. In August of 1982, went to a James Robinson meeting, and I got filled with the Spirit. And immediately, I didn't even know what that was, but I got delivered of some evil spirits. I got filled with the Spirit. The Word of God came alive. And from that day forward, I've never been the same. I'm not perfect and don't propose to be perfect, but the empowering of the Spirit changed my life. Like I said, I grew up in church. I attended church. I tried to read my Bible. But there is a complete change, and that's why I'm saying we've got to have a life-changing encounter with God. It doesn't have to be like mine, but you have to have a life-changing encounter. So the question is, have you had a life-changing encounter with God? Are you for sure you're born again? Do you know for a fact, there's not a question, that if you died, you're going to go to heaven? It says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I just encourage you, do you know for sure that you're born again? Have you been water baptized? Have you appropriated the truth of what Jesus did for us and how he rendered that old nature, that sin nature, it's dead? And my new nature is alive in Christ. Have you been water baptized? And have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit and empowered by him? Again, the first step to being a disciple of Christ, you've got to have a personal encounter with the living Christ. Now, I would go the next step. It's not just a one-time deal. Once you've walked in the fullness of what I've shared, you can begin to encounter God in many ways and many things in your life. That's a lifestyle of encountering God. But I just want to encourage you, you won't be a disciple. You have to have a life-changing encounter with God. Now, I want to pray for you. I want to pray every one of these, but I really want to pray that you would choose to embrace everything that Jesus has paid for. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you and bless you. We thank you for life. You promised us eternal life. You promised us, Lord, not just temporary life, but life eternal. You said that if we receive you, we're a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. And I pray, Lord, that we would understand the power of baptism, the power of being identified in your death, burial, and your resurrection. And I pray that, Lord, you'd baptize us with the Holy Spirit so that we'd be empowered from up on high. So I pray for everyone that listens to this, everyone that would be part of this, that, Lord, you would help us to have an encounter with you that would change our life. We don't want to just go through life. We want to be changed. We want to have an encounter with the living Christ. It changed our life, and we're never going to go back, never going to be the same. I pray for everyone that listens to this, that you would touch us in a profound, life-changing way. We love you, we bless you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.